As you know, I'm a big proponent of CBD to tonify the endocannabinoid system, which regulates many of our most critical bodily functions, such as learning and memory, emotional processing, sleep, temperature and pain control, and inflammatory and immune responses. CBD is a real breakthrough in herbal products. But you may not know that CBD can deliver the same healthful results for your pets. The CBD brand that I take personally and recommend to my patients is Plus CBD from CV Sciences, which is now proud to introduce premier CBD chews tailored for dogs. Plus CBD pet wellness treats are crafted with the utmost care and supported by extensive research validated by a landmark safety study backed by the National Animal Supplement Council. There are two varieties, Plus CBD pet hip and joint health chews and Plus CBD pet calming care chews. To learn more and to order, visit pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman30 for 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for Plus CBD's pet wellness blends. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to discuss an important subject that we haven't really talked about in any great depth here on Intelligent Medicine, but I think it's an important aspect of your health portfolio. There's a new book by today's guest, The Pulse Cure. It's actually a runaway bestseller in Scandinavia. Norway is the country of origin of today's guest, who's Dr. Torkil Farrow. And the book purports to be a revolutionary new way to balance stress, optimize health, and live longer. Newly translated in English and available to you in a very, very understandable format. Dr. Farrow is kind of a Renaissance man. In addition to being a physician, he's a general practitioner in his country of Norway, where actually he comes to us today, because this is get out of Dodge season in New York. You want to get out of the heat of Central Europe, and you want to head north where it's nice and cool and the days are long. He's coming to us from somewhere in the wilds of Norway, where he's a general practitioner and emergency physician. He's also a documentary filmmaker. He's an author. He's a photographer. He is an athlete, an outdoorsman, an inveterate traveler. He's made his way by bicycle, motorbike, kayak, boat, and car through over 80 countries, speaks 8 languages, speaks great English, so he won't have any problems in that regard. And he lives in Oslo with his wife and 2 children. Dr. Torkil, congratulations on the, Dr. Farrow, sorry, congratulations on the book and welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ronald, for having me on your show. So I've been looking very much forward to this.
Okay, so we know that the pulse is important, and on my radio program, I get a lot of questions, you know, what's the optimal pulse rate? You know, we have these formulas, 220 minus your age is, you know, and you're supposed to take a certain percentage of that for exercise. We tend to look at recovery is also an issue. You know, when you exercise, you know, you're supposed to go up to a high pulse rate, and the rate at which you recover is a measure of your fitness. But we can take it to a much greater level of sophistication by looking at something called HRV, heart rate variability. And there's actually a very interesting history on this. It's actually a relatively recent discovery. But I think its origins are in the Soviet Union with the athletic program there. Am I mistaken?
I don't know about these origins, but it certainly is like 4 or 5 decades of research and knowledge about it. But it's only taken off recently, maybe the last 5-10 years, because now we have the heart rate variability available on our smartwatches and smart rings and devices that so many people use, you know, the Whoop band, you know, in the US, the Garmin watches and so on. So it's kind of gotten so that everybody is using it to some extent. And actually my book, The Pulse Cure, is the world's first book, the guidebook on how to use the wearables and how to use heart rate variability as a measure of your stress levels, your stress balance, and overall health even. So it's what the heart can tell us so much. And while we are busy living our life, you know, these variables keep track of the intensity of our lives while we are concentrated on conversations and hobbies and work and so on.
So, you know, we tend to speak about two basic kinds of heart rate, regular heart rate and irregular heart rate. So an example of an irregular heartbeat might be atrial fibrillation, where it's instead of da-da, 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 it's da-da, 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 almost like a Morse code, like a staccato. But I think few people realize that their heart rate is not like a metronome. It's not like beat, 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 beat. But there are natural variations like a waveform, intervals between the peaks and valleys of your electrocardiogram, the sound of your heart, and which have some interpretive value for your health. So guide us through the science behind that.
Yeah, so heart rate variability is the variation between heartbeats, and it will reflect the state of our autonomic nervous system, the basic system of our physiology that we share with all vertebrates and mammals, you know, from that we departed from like 100 millions of years, you know, from our ancestors. And when we breathe in the relaxed mode, then the heart rate will go up a little bit. And when we breathe out, it will go down a little bit. And that is because there will be more oxygen in the lungs on the in-breath and less on the out-breath. And the heart wants to save a little bit of energy and slows down on the out-breath. But if we are in the stress state for whatever reason, mental or physical or whatever, then the body will interpret it as we need all available forces. So we need to push through even when there's less oxygen in the lungs. So if you're in a stress state, the heart will beat pretty at a steady pace. And in the relaxed state, you know, it will have this healthy variation between hearts. And of course, then the variables will pick up these minute differences measured in milliseconds, but they will be detectable. So if you are in the totally relaxed state, for example, in the morning, and you breathe in, you can feel this difference if you are watching your carotid pulse. So anyway, then these trackers, they keep track of your intensity of your life, your stress balance throughout the 24 hours. And they will give you an assessment of whether you are enough time in the down state and not too much time in the stress state. And of course, most of the diseases that we are plagued by as doctors these days is based on chronic inflammation and a too high stress level. When I'm talking about stress, it's not only what we would normally regard as stress, you know, like mental stress and busy deadlines and busy family life and so on, but it's also stress from a poor diet, from too little or too much exercise, from alcohol, from altitude, actually, and a lot of surprising things you will see when you start tracking your system. And then, of course, once you have this speedometer of your physiology, then it's so much easier to regulate the balance of your autonomic nervous system.
So this is a little counterintuitive because we tend to think of irregular heartbeat as being a bad, but to have a natural irregularity, like a cyclic variability with the in-breath and the out-breath is normal. And when I examine young patients, young healthy patients, especially athletic patients, I really notice this is a profound difference. It's very detectable between the beat to beat with the in-breath and the out-breath. And it kind of goes in a nice waveform. My older patients, less so. Is this a factor related to aging that one loses one, shall we say, autonomic suppleness?
Yes, that's true. So there'll be like a reverse hockey stick feature to this so that your heart variability will be high, you know, in your early 20s and go quite steep down until you are maybe 40, and then it will pretty much flatten out the rest of your life. But this is, you know, the reason why an athlete, you know, even if there's millions of dollars to be made, you know, and lots of honor and glory, it will be very, very hard to stay at the top of your game, you know, in an endurance or strength sport after you're 40. Of course, you can be a golfer and those kind of things. So the heart rate variability maybe 80 to 100, you know, in your 20s. And that same person, when it reaches the 50s, you struggle to get more than 30 in heart rate variability. Mm-hmm. That's a sign that your body is in a more sympathetic mode because it's struggling to keep up, you know, your total physiology. So it's not really only a measure of the autonomic nervous system. It's also a number that can tell you how is your immune system doing, how are your mitochondria doing also. So it's almost like temperature, like fever is a sign of an infection from whatever reason. And low heart rate variability is a sign of a load on your system for like a plethora of reasons. And you have to do this detective work yourself. And in my book is kind of a help into how to do this detective work and find out what is, how can you mitigate the stress and find a good balance that will give you more well-being. It will give you more better performance, a better health, and a better longevity. So a low heart rate variability is linked to so many diseases like cancer, heart disease, Parkinson, dementia, and also all-cause mortality. So it's, there's so much resource. So if you search on Google any kind of disease or symptom and then add heart rate variability, you'll find tons of research because it's such an easy metric to get. Once you are doing a big research, you know, getting the heart rate variability number is easy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the revolution in wearables, you know, with new electronic devices that give you your pulse rate, you know, from your wrist, from a wearable device. They'll tell you how many steps you've walked, how far you've swum. You can set it up for the pool or open water swim or for cycling. You can also check blood sugar through some devices. They're contemplating this for the Apple Watch. I think they're having some patent challenges on getting that, but you can get a wearable that'll tell you a continuous glucose monitor. This one speaks to a subtle indicator of health that has pervasive implications. Talk to us a little bit about the autonomic nervous system. Give us a primer, because there is this parasympathetic-sympathetic seesaw that, you know, we talk about it must be, quote, balanced. What does that mean?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that, you know, during the medical study, you know, 25 years ago, the autonomic nervous system was pretty fast, you know, to go through. We learned that it was a fight, flight, and freeze system and a rest and digest. And that was pretty much it. Now we know that this basic system is so important for us. So it's kind of the system that keeps us alive, you know, as we are sleeping, you know, even if we are unconscious, the autonomic nervous system will have control of all our inner organs and the state of alertness and so on.
Just
our heart. Yeah. All our organs, you know, it kind of distributes, you know, channels the energy, you know, for mobilization. You know, the sympathetic nervous system is the fight, flight, and freeze. And I would like to add hunt and fun also, because it activates us. It gets us to what we want and away from what we don't want. And of course, throughout history, the ones who had a good system for this survived the best, you know, and it gave us our genes. But you can't be in that state all the time because there is no time for recovery. And this organism that would be in a stress state too much of the time would get sick. So then you have the parasympathetic part that calms down the system, that triggers the immune system through the vagus nerve and makes sure that, you know, the restorative processes go through at an optimal level. And from nature's, when you put these trackers on hunter-gatherers that still live the natural way that we have been living through the eons, then they will be maybe 2 or 3 hours in activity, and the rest of the day they will relax. And of course, in our society, we're pretty much the opposite.
Right.
You know, we hardly relax even in sleep. So most people, when they start tracking their systems, you know, and then like on Garmin watches, that is the best way to do it, they will get a lot of surprises, many people, when they get their stress readings. Because we've kind of gotten used to this intensity of living, you know, so we think that this is the normal, but our ancient physiology is not made for this level of intensity. So we have to find ways to calm down, to make sure we are sleeping well, to make sure we are eating a good diet, that we have a restricted feeding window, so we are not eating from the early morning until late night. Alcohol will have a large effect on this autonomic nervous system and the stress levels and so on. So while breathing exercises, meditation, cold water therapy, you know, cold showers, being cold, you know, I just took here in Norway, the water is pretty cold. So earlier today, I took a swim, a short swim, maybe 15 minutes.
No wetsuit, presumably.
No wetsuit, yeah. And that would keep me in the parasympathetic mode for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to overrun, you know, your autonomic nervous system to be able to control it, and that you're not controlled by stress, but you are controlling your stress level.
Well, let's look into the opposite case, because there is a condition called dysautonomia. And in fact, there's an organization called Dysautonomia International, and it's a grab bag for all kinds of conditions: chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, post-Lyme syndrome, post-COVID. It's thought that dysautonomia plays a role in post-COVID and in vaccine reactions. And typically what these people describe is it's as if they're driving a car, and when they put the pedal to the metal, the car doesn't accelerate. And when they want to put the brakes on, the car is off to the races. It's the problem with regulation of some of these automatic or autonomic processes. There's poor sleep quality, and there's exhaustion, but there's also sometimes runaway anxiety, palpitations, and so on. So this is an example of really out of kilter autonomic function. So there's a use case for this tool to kind of give us a score, like, how are we doing, you know, and what are the impacts of some of our daily activities?
Those symptoms that you described there, you know, that they're wanting to push the gas pedal and there's no speed, and push the brakes and the car keep going. That seems, you know, very typical for so many patients every day at my office. And what is so interesting is that we have no other way of seeing this than the heart rate variability. So they come into the doctor's office, we take all the lab tests, you know, we take radiological examinations, and nothing turns up.
Blood chemistry, et cetera. There's no blood marker for this.
And still they are totally out of function. You know, they're not working. They can hardly, you know, make food and go to the store, you know, in a state of fatigue and burnout. But the wearables will show it. So when we see on the Garmin watches or in the Oura Rings and Whoop bands, we can see the stress levels and the taxation on their systems. So that is one of the big reasons for the success of the book. You know, all the people in the burnout state that finally find a speedometer that works for them, because the normal speedometer that you can feel yourself is just not working.
Right.
And suddenly you have these wearables that can tell you the state and what you can do, because what you can do to exert yourself is so much less when you are in these states of long COVID and the fatigue situations. And all the other, you know, so many of the troubles that people come to the doctor's office for, you know, the brain fog, migraine, tiredness. I think tiredness is one of the most common diagnoses that we put as a doctor in Norway, one of the most common ones. And I recently heard a podcast from Rangan Chatterjee in the UK, who said that 88% of UK citizens have been on the verge of burnout during the last 2 years. So it's very, very common. And the most important thing about this, it places the control in your hands. So the control is kind of taken from the doctor and the healthcare system into your own hands. And that is maybe the most important thing. Like Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player.
Yes.
Sorry, soccer is not so big in the US.
I know of him because we share a name, Ronaldo. My name is Ronald. So, you know, some people mistake me for him, but I'm not a good soccer player.
Let's go. And he says that the Whoop band is like having a doctor on his wrist, mm-hmm. you know, so you have kind of moved the doctor from his office, you know, to your wrist, and it's available at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why I'm saying this is like a revolution in stress management.
Right. Okay. So great. So the book is The Pulse Cure, and it's a runaway bestseller in Scandinavia, now been translated to English. And I find it a very practical guide to understanding HRV, heart rate variability, and the practical applications thereof. Because until recently, heart rate variability was relegated to, you know, laboratories. You could study it, you know, 35 years ago. But with the advent of some of these wearables, new devices, the Garmin watch, even the Apple watch, the Oura ring, a lot of people are now tuning into their heart rate variability. And the book helps us understand what are the implications of this. What are the practical applications of this, and, you know, also how to tune up your heart rate variability, how to optimize it, because it's an important indicator of health, you know, just like blood pressure, heart rate, and other metrics of health that we look at. So when we return, we'll talk about, you know, some of the nuts and bolts of this, some of the practical applications. What are some of the device options? What are their advantages? What are their drawbacks? And how to best interpret your HRV information and what you can do about it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Torkel Farrow, who's taking some time from his summer vacation in Norway. I think he's in a caravan, you know, like a, it looks like a beautiful.
I'm in a motorhome.
In a motorhome.
In the mountains of Norway. Connected on a Starlink from Elon Musk.
So he's this is a technological feat. He's a Viking nomad seeking cooler weather, immersion in cold weather, cold water streams to tune up his autonomic nervous system, as he should do this time of year. And we'll be back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.